This recording, India 3, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered either. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millennial lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Madurai, which is a city of temples located in Tamil Nadu, which is basically located in South India. And I was brought up in different places, not necessarily, though I was born in Madurai, I was brought up in places like Chennai, which is again the capital city of Tamil Nadu, and a big metropolitan city as far as South India is concerned. I was brought up in places like Coimbatore, which is the third largest city of Tamil Nadu, and was also brought up for her. I also did my initial year of schooling in Bombay, which is the largest metropolitan, a very large metropolitan city. It's actually now a cosmopolitan city as well. So, since I did my initial years of schooling in Bombay, in Tamil, my mother tongue, again, became a problem. I wasn't introduced to Tamil as a writing language and just used it for speaking. And for other conversations, for writing, I started using Hindi, which became my primary mode of writing. Though I did my other languages, that was my second language, basically. My primary language was, of course, English, though my mother tongue was Tamil. Then I came back to Chennai at around my 9th grade, finished my schooling, and did my 4 years of college over there. And then I'm now here in KU doing my master's in computer science. Yeah, basically, if you see, I think there are around 845 languages spoken all over India. So it becomes really terrible. Each state has a separate language of its own. So the main mode of conversation in the southern states, and since different states in southern India have different languages, the main mode of conversation in southern India becomes English. Whereas if you go into the northern parts of India, Hindi becomes a primary language in most of the states. So conversation is usually done in Hindi over in the northern part of India. But between the southern states and between the southern part of India and the northern India, it's usually English. So it's not that Hindi isn't spoken in South India. It's picking up nowadays. You can find at least 50 to 60% of the people in South India speaking really good Hindi as well as English. So that's the way how communication goes on. Hindi and English is the mode of language, mode of communication when you go across states and across borders. It all started off when the Mughal Emperor Jahangir allowed the East India Company to start off a business in India. And as it was seen that once the East India Company got a strong foundation, they started occupying the states and wanted to bring India under a central rule, which they were eventually successful. But after the uprising in 1857, which we had the first war of Indian independence, the British government decided to take it over from the East India Company, and it came under the entire British government rule. And we had great leaders like Mahatma Gandhi, Jawaharlal Nehru, who fought for freedom, and which eventually we got in 1947, August 15th, Lord Mountbatten declared India as an independent country. यह मेरे लिए एक अति सुंदर अनुभव था और मैं मेरे मित्र देव को धन्यवाद करना चाहता हूँ. दिस वॉज अ वंडरफुल एक्सपीरियंस फॉर मी एंड आई लाइक टू थैंक देव फॉर दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी.